Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week, we are going to take a look at MLW Fusion Alpha number 8, Opera Cup semifinals, and a couple other big matches to be had. But first, let's take a brief look at the news. First, it looks like Azteca Underground is back up and running. MLW matchmakers Cesar Duran, I almost called him Dario Cueto. Cesar Duran has announced that once again MLW is teaming up with the Crash promotion out of Tijuana, Mexico to co-promote the MLW Azteca show in Tijuana, obviously December 3rd, 2021 at the Auditorio Fausto Gutierrez. No matches have been announced quite yet, but this is obviously not the first time MLW has worked with the Crash promotion, though this will be the first time, obviously, under the MLW Azteca banner. Will this be a part of the overall mythos of Azteca Underground? We'll have to wait and see. Nothing announced for certain as of yet, but of course, you know, things can change. And the second big surprise to come out of this is that MLW owner Court Bauer conducted an interview recently, noting that he has worked out a deal with noted Hollywood producer Mark Burnett, who is also, you know, one of those money men out there, and he's willing to help pick up Azteca Underground. He was also the executive producer of Lucha Underground, so once again, this is kind of a natural extension of the original Lucha Underground project, now teaming with MLW and its Azteca Underground, you know, side project. This could be really big news because, again, Mark Burnett was an ardent supporter of Lucha Underground, and let's face it, he's got the budget to make something awesome work, so hopefully we can get this project off the ground after, well, pert near, you know, a year or so of, well, maybe not a year, I mean, at least 6-7 months of intrigue and promises that we are now starting to see come to fruition. Now we can hopefully start seeing the whole side project as it was intended to be, with a television budget. So that's some big news. We'll see if anything comes from it, but you never say never in the world of professional wrestling. All right, let's hit it off. We got three big matches to be had tonight. It's MLW Fusion Alpha number 8. We are going to start off, well, I guess we're not really starting off hot. We got our reporter, whose name I can never remember because he's Beardo and I'm jealous of his beard and whatnot. But he interrupts Hammer and NJ Aduka working out plans. Hammer's trying to eat. Gets asked about the ankle, and they just kind of shove him off. He catches Richard Holiday off to the side. He is talking to one Max when Cesar Duran walks up to everybody. Notes that nobody trusts him. Yeah, nobody trusts Cesar Duran. And NJ Aduka, like, flat out just calls him the devil, and you don't make a deal with the devil. But, you know, Cesar wants what's best for business, and what's best for business right now is the elimination of the Contra unit, and he has some ideas for the last mystery spot on Hammer's team, and, well, let's just face it, he may have the key to Team Hammerstone's success, as he literally dangles a key that's hanging around his neck before he wanders off. So bump bump bomb, potential foreshadowing, or at least to the Lucha Underground universe over there. In the meanwhile, we have a MLW tag team title match. It is Los Parks, currently represented by LA Park Jr. and Hijo del LA Park, taking on 5150 Slice Boogie and Rivera with Julius Smokes and Conan. This was originally supposed to be a trios match, but it is noted that LA Park got into some sort of altercation backstage and he's not coming out. But before the match can even start, we get some footage backstage with Jacob Fatu just tearing everything apart and security just kind of doing nothing about it. Just a big angry Samoan tearing up the backstage area. Might as well just let him do it. Anyway, speaking of tearing things up, we barely get a bell ring, and we got a hot brawl between 5150 and Los Parks. Once again, like, it is announced that LA Park was involved in an altercation backstage. He's not showing up. In the meanwhile, it looks like Los Parks are holding their own, punching and kicking and throwing and, well, also getting beaten up. They're taking turns, but to, slide the odds in 5150's favor, LAX Original Homicide shows up, but before he can do too much damage, LA Park, the original, shows up with a steel chair, the Great Equalizer. Park's takeover in the ring sends everybody out to the floor, and we get a trio of dives from Los Parks. So, impressive. It's always nifty seeing LA Park being able to dive through the ropes like that, suicide dives, just because, like, let's face it, he's not as small as he used to be. He's got a bit of a tummy on him. Not that we all don't, but, you know, he's still agile enough to do that, which is impressive for a man his age and his size, for that matter. But anyway, yeah, I digress. Brawling. Lots of brawling. It's just a car crash in the best way possible. Iho puts a ring board up in the corner. Slice Boogie cuts him off. We get a spirit battle. We're throwing forearms. But in the meanwhile, Iho hits a Yoshitonic for two. But that just makes Slice Boogie angry. And he powerbombs Iho through the board in the corner. That makes the Patriarch rather upset and just tees off on Boogie with a steel chair. Julius Smokes comes in, slapjacks the referee, because obviously the referee is biased. We get Rivera with a corkscrew plancha to the floor. The ref wakes up. We get lots of bell ringing action, and no one's really paying attention. Like, and it's kind of like quasi-subtle in the background. So, like, if it wasn't for commentary just continuously, like, putting it over, like, does anybody hear the bell ring? Like, why does the bell keep ringing? Blah, blah, blah. Bell, bell, bell. Ring, ring, ring. And, yeah, evidently, the ref has thrown out the match, but no one seems to care, and the ref doesn't seem to be terribly high on enforcing that either. So the bell just keeps ringing. We get a suicide con Hilo from a homicide. Once again, commentary is also noting the match has been thrown out. LA Park inside the ring with a big spear to Slice Boogie. We get brawling outside the ring. We got chair shots. It's chaos. Julius Smokes has been laid out with a steel chair shot or two, and he's having a seizure on the stage, which we're not terribly worried about because it's Julius Smokes. One, he's annoying. And two, like, that's just kind of how he deals with physical trauma, is just by going right into seizures. So, yeah, we're going to go to break as, you know, the referees maintain order and, you know, because see what's going to happen. Maybe we can have another match or something. Anyway, following this, we get a brief intro video for Big Beef Gnarls Garvin. He is coming to MLW soon. Following this, we get a promo from Joseph Samael. He runs down Philadelphia, calls him window lickers, which made me happy. Also calls him inbred, which I find it difficult with the amount of people that live in Philly for them all to be inbred like that. And then he puts down the team of Hammer, Holiday, and Nduka, which, I mean, I get it. You don't like the guys, but, like, they're not terribly slouchy in the ring. I mean, to be fair, Alexander Hammerstone beat your custom picked world heavyweight champion, and EJ Nduka eliminated like a quarter of the participants in the Battle Riot event himself, just like all by himself. Like, I mean, and, you know, Holiday, I mean, we could just, you know, he could be considered the weak link of the trio, but still, like, former MLW Tag Team Champion, former IWA Puerto Rico Caribbean Champion up until fairly recently. So, like, I mean, they're not slouches. Like, we shouldn't be telling everyone how terrible they are when they've handedly beat your guys and whatnot. But, you know, what do I know? I don't lead an underground chaos organization. So, yeah, that's what I get. So, never mind that. We'll move on. Oh, there's much more brawling backstage between 5150 and Los Parks. In the chaos, 5150 takes Hijo del L.A. Parks' mask, which, if those of you who aren't familiar with your Lucha Libre lore and etiquette, is a major no-no. All right. Our next match is a big one with lots of names. It is a 12-man elimination tag team match. The teams are The Beastman with Kim Chi, Kevin Ku, Gino Medina, Casey Navarro, Akira Kwan, and King Mo, taking on Zenshi, War Horse, Savio Vega, The Blue Meanie, Richard Holiday, and EJ Iduka. Again, this is elimination rules, so to win the match, one team has to be fully, totally eliminated, so we are guaranteed at least 6 pinfalls in this match. So it looks like before the match even gets started, the faces clear the ring, but once we get going, it is Kevin Ku and Warhorse to start. Warhorse gets the early offensive advantage, but before he gets distracted by Akira Kwan, which allows Kevin Ku to hit a variation of the lung blower and take out Warhorse like very quickly in the match. And let's face it, I am just very much upset by the fact we don't get to see more Warhorse in our MLW matches. Like, seriously, maybe the most popular guy in the ring, and he's gone in like 45 seconds. Come on, man. But that brings in Iduka. He feels my pain, eliminates King Mo pretty darn quick with a spine buster. He follows up by eliminating Kevin Ku with said spine buster. He eliminates like everybody else with the spine buster. He does a blue thunder bomb on Ku to eliminate Kevin Ku, former Team Filthy member. Casey Navarro's in, brings in Richard Holiday, get a tope con Elo on Holiday. Navarro and Zenshi have a speed battle. They try to one-up each other, show off their fancy moves. Unfortunately, this brings in the Beastman, who eliminates Zenshi after a corner cannonball. You don't get to see that hit too often anymore, especially for a man that size and a big, big boy rolling into a ball like he's some sort of magic bone-chewing hedgehog. Anyway, Savio Vega is now in. He chops away at the Beastman with his kendo stick. The ref then takes the kendo stick because obviously you can't use it anymore. This allows Beastman to hit a clothesline and a big splash to eliminate the Puerto Rican legend. Blue Meanie comes in. They have a sumo battle. Eventually, Beastman gets thumped into the corner. Meanie goes to the other corner and gets held in place by Kim Chi. We get a corner splash followed by a big splash, and the Blue Meanie is then eliminated. EJ and Duka comes in, getting ready to have a fight with the Beastman. Kim Chi dives in and gets tossed around for his efforts. And Duka hits a spine buster on the Beastman. Beastman is eliminated. Kim Chi gets a spine buster for his efforts. He also gets pinned, even though he's not part of the match. Gino Medina comes in. Richard Holiday tags himself in so we can have the classic battle between former Dynasty members. We get a cactus clothesline by Holiday. They go to the floor. Fight to pert near 20. Akira Kwan gets involved, kicks Holiday in the face, allowing Gino to slide in the ring at the last second. Richard Holiday is eliminated. And now it is just EJ and Duka taking on the rest of the baddies. Luckily, it shan't be for long as Gino Medina gets the spine buster. Casey Navarro gets curls done upon him. Then he gets the spine buster. And that leaves Akira Kwan, who gets a military press into the spine buster. Verdict. Final verdict for everybody. Winner of the match, Team Good Guys, sole survivor, EJ and Duka. And I'm just going to talk briefly, probably not so briefly, about this. I just have a number of little things kind of to complain about the match. Obviously, it was a showcase to get EJ and Duka over. Don't have a problem with that. That's what we need to be doing. But in a match that's 7 days removed from War Chamber, like, we really need to be putting over everyone who may be in the War Chamber event. So, like, Richard Holiday didn't get really much of anything in and kind of got to be made to look like a goober in the process, what little he did come in. And then we have Akira Kwan, who also is going to be in the War Chamber match, and outside of being a nuisance at various points, didn't really do much of anything either. And so, you know, you have these guys that aren't the judge in there and not really doing anything to, like, prep themselves up for the War Chamber match. And then on top of it, I mean, yes, there's a bunch of guys, so obviously the teams are going to be a little bit ramshackle. But I'm looking, especially at the face side, which contains, you know, a relatively recently turned Richard Holiday. But I look at the good guy team, and that good guy team also includes Savio Vega and the Blue Meanie, two men with history with Richard Holiday, and no one really seems to care. Like, no one's going to reference how Holiday screwed over Savio Vega to get the IWA Puerto Rico Caribbean Championship, or how the Blue Meanie was part of the Dynasty versus Mance Warner feud. Like, no one cares. And then on top of that, like, we have Akira Kwan just randomly on the heel team, and he's a member of Contra, which has run roughshod over MLW, even to the point where it pretty much shut MLW down in 2020. And he just gets to team with everybody like it ain't no thing, and no one wants to, you know, kick his ass. You know, they don't even let Warhorse rule his ass. Like, those are just some little things that kind of took me out of the booking in general. Other than that, like, I'm a fan of Chaos, and overall, it was a lot of fun just in general, but those are just some complaints I had about that. But, all right, we are going to take a pause for the cause. You know, check out the sponsors, people who help pay me the big bucks to keep doing whatever it is I think I'm doing. I'll catch you all in a minute.
Now, whether you're someone who works out, or, like me, needs to maintain focus and mental clarity, we could all use a pick-me-up. That's where Raise Energy steps in. With Refresh technology, Raise provides a hydrating, sugar-free boost of energy without the crash some other energy drinks have. You can find out where you can get Raise Energy near you by visiting www.repsports.com, and while you're there, check out the other products that Rep offers, such as pre- and post-workout supplements and snacks. And if you want some extra savings, order online and apply my discount code CASS, that's C-A-S-S, at checkout for 15% off your order.
All right, we are back with Willow Nightingale backstage with Cesar Duran. They take turns complimenting each other. I'm pretty sure one of them thinks they're going to get some, but what we're really going to get is a featherweight championship match, which overjoys Willow. She wants to be the one to really, like, make that title happen, and so sometime in the near future we are going to get a featherweight championship. So that is awesome. Let's keep doing that. We got a solid start to the division. We can bring in some other names and bolster the division, or just, well, get other names and bolster the division. I mean, there's a lot of really good wrestlers out there that would be fine additions to the featherweight division as it stands now. Following this backstage doodad, we have Enzo coming soon to MLW. And for those of you that aren't aware, that is the former Enzo Amore, signed a deal with MLW. He is debuting, well, at the War Chamber event, which was recorded last week, November 6th, or at least last week at the recording of this episode of MLW Confusion. But he was supposed to take on Matt Cross. Following this, Jacob Fatu is now in Cesar Duran's office tearing things up. He wants his championship back. And Cesar's like, yeah, I can't do anything about that. And Fatu's all like, what? And Cesar's like, yeah, you know, you and championship matches, that's all on Joseph Samael. He controls your championship matches. And I've tried to make a rematch, but he hasn't approved it yet. And Fatu's like, you're not going to come between me and Fatu. This isn't over. I'll see you later. All right, it is time for our main event of the evening. It is the Opera Cup semifinal action with Davey Richards taking on infamous Bobby Fish. Should be a technical masterpiece to be seen for this match. we'll see how well we go, because Bobby Fish is AEW bound at this time, or at least the time of this taping. Obviously, he's had a handful of matches with AEW as of this point. Match starts, we get a tie-up, some grappling, and we take turns like figuring out what body parts we are going to work over. Bobby Fish is sent outside with a gnarly kick to the arm. Davey Richards is going to go out and go after him, but Fish trips him on the ring apron, you know, the hardest part of the ring. Fish takes advantage outside of the ring, works over the left knee, continues working over the left knee as we come into the ring. Also, lots of kicks to be found, too, which is, of course, that's something that's always happens in a match with these two. Davey Richards, though, gets a brief advantage with the kitchen sink knee spot. We go to a commercial break, and when we come back, Richards is still working over Bobby Fish, and now it's working over Bobby Fish's left arm. We get some nasty kicks that wakes up Bobby Fish. We trade some strikes with Richards taking the advantage for it. Fish goes for a senton, though. Somersault senton, you know, slingshot style. Richards gets his knees up and is all angry because obviously his knees don't hurt anymore, especially after, you know, direct contact such as that. But his anger doesn't get to last long as Fish locks in the heel hook. Richards counters into a scorpion deathlock. We get stereo kicks. They're just like big booty each other at the same time. Richards locks on the ankle lock. Fish gets out of it. We get a big kick and a brainbuster for two. Another ankle lock attack by Richards. And this time, Bobby Fish has nothing to do but tap. Your winner, Davey Richards. Going on to the finals of the Opera Cup. After the match, though, Richards is all about the respect, trying to get the crowd to give it up for Bobby Fish. And they embrace in the ring. So, solid match between the two of them. And, once again, we can't have nice things, because I have to complain about them all. And my complaint is this, which is my common complaint for a lot of Davey Richards matches, is that he really likes to work body parts and have body parts worked against him. Specifically in this case, it's his knee, his left leg, like really done a number on it. It's, you know, hurt all match. And then just randomly, we're going to be Captain No Sell and the leg doesn't bother anymore. Like, don't get me wrong. You know, adrenaline is a wonderful drug. But I also note that if you're actually hurt, adrenaline is not necessarily going to be the cure all for it. And you're just not going to, you know, magically be okay when a 200-pound man falls on your injured knee, or, you know, do you decide you need to kick someone with full force with either that leg or use it as a base as this goes on again. And so, like, that brought me down a bit, which something that Davey Richards does occasionally is just, like, forgets that part of wrestling is, you know, it's a battle. And we all can't be superheroes all the time, or just whenever we want either. You know, at least rub the leg, give it a smack or something, but don't just no-sell it when it's convenient. But we're going to move on to that. We have Alicia Toot backstage with Richard Holiday, Alexander Hammerstone, and EJ Nduka. Cesar Duran comes out and notes that he has added Savio Vega to the team. Oh, excuse me. It's an announced via associate to Alicia Toot that Savio Vega is added to the team. Holiday, Hammer, and Nduka kind of roll this information around, especially Holiday, who doesn't get along with Savio, except in their tag team match. They speculate who the secret person is that is still left, and they really, you know, hint that it could be Montaza, Cueto, former Lucha Underground star and brother to Dario Cueto, aka the current Cesar Duran. When we also get whispered into Alicia Toot's ear that Richard Holiday is going to get a World Heavyweight Championship match in the near future. And oh no, shocks of shocks. Hammer and Holiday go over the heel turn that is coming with Holiday, where Hammer is all excited because he won his match, celebrates with Holiday. Holiday hits him with a clothesline, gives him a pile driver, and holds the title belt up high. And they all admit that was a wee bit dramatic. And Hammer's just like, you know, that's fine. You're not getting in our heads. You know, we're brothers. We get to fight sometime. And the best thing about being champion is to be able to defend your championship against all comers, especially those who would be worthy opponents, such as Richard Holiday and EJ and Duca. So, Dario's evil plan there is going to be foiled, I guess. Either way, we're going to have a thoroughly bitchin' match. I'm down with it. And our show is going to end with a recap video of the Alexander Hammerstone, Jacob Fatu, / Contra Unit feud, heading into War Chamber, which War Chamber will be broadcasted for us, general public, next week, next Wednesday, November 17th. I'm looking forward to it, because I love violence, and despite some of my complaints about today's show and how it was booked, I love the brawl between Los Parks and 5150. The 12-man elimination match was fun. And then, of course, we got some solid technical action to close the show between Bobby Fish and Davey Richards. And, of course, Richards is moving on to the Opera Cup Finals. He will be taking on the winner of the Calvin Tankman TJP match that I assume will either be next week or the week after. They haven't... Okay, they probably announced it last week, and I just wasn't paying that much attention. Let's just face it. But, you know, if I'm not paying that much attention, it's probably time for me to, I don't know, get some sleep or something, eat some pizza rolls, fill my jacuzzi with those pizza rolls once again. So I'm going to get on that. Thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for the plugs. I will see you all next week. Thank you for listening to MLW Confusion. MLW Confusion is written and narrated by Rob Kammer, but is not affiliated with Major League Wrestling. The opening theme is written and performed by Rob Kammer, and what you are listening to right now is Ruined My Day by Alan L. Schroeder. If you enjoyed the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Also, be sure to tell your friends, family, and enemies about the show. Word of mouth is very important to us small businesses. You can also get up to date with the thoughts and ramblings at the social media at the links in the description. If you'd like to support monetarily and help out, and to upgrade our equipment too, by the way, you can in the following ways. First, our virtual tip jar is at www.kofi.com/casanova. That is CASSONOVA. Or, for more bang for your buck, join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/casanova. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to MLW Confusion early and ad-free, plus get weekly exclusive goodies. So be like the OGs, Maverick45 and Alan Schroeder, and check that out! Also, for your energy, sleep, and workout needs, check out repsports.com and use the coupon code CASS at checkout to get 15% off your order.